here early so that you can go and have your wonderful, whether you're barbecuing or your food. How many of you are barbecuing today? No barbecue? Dang, I was going to invite myself. How many of y'all are cooking at home? Raise your hand. Look at you. All going out to eat? Okay, one's cooking at home. Two's cooking at home. Okay, oh, now because I'm asking you, so okay, I'll cook then, right? Yeah, I was going to say, look, enjoy your Sundays. Enjoy it. Don't rush to, oh, this, I went to church, it took long, Pastor Marty just went all over the place. Get used to it. That's who I am. That's just who I am. And if you're okay with it, you're going to learn some things. Some things you walk out with. He talked about fideo. What does fideo have to do with faith? It takes time. It simmers. And what it does is it breaks up the hardness under the heat and the water. The water is the Holy Spirit. The heat is your trials. That which was once hardened becomes now soft, becomes now flexible. Then they add the tomato sauce, which is the blood. And when you put the blood in the midst of your storm, the midst of all the Holy Ghost and the midst of the heat, the blood that covers you. Yes. Y'all feel it. You feel it now. Yeah. Oh, wait, I ain't through. Yeah, I ain't through. That's only the fideo part. I haven't got to the fideo loco where you add the beans to it. What are the beans? It represents the very thing that has come out of the hardness of the ground that has been purified and cleansed to be put in that very same mixture. And everything that you have been working for and striving for is now put in together into one pot. It makes some things seem a little crazy, but you ain't out of order. You've been ordered to be there. And because you've ordered to be there, watch this. He says, if you would bring all your tithes into the storehouse so that there would be meat in my house. So then when you add the picadillo meat to the fideo, you're getting substance now. Y'all don't know. It's a version of Italian spaghetti. But we make it a little different. We add the comino. Hold up. I ain't lost you now. Because a spice is nothing more than something that has been ground up, dried up, and made into powder form so that it can be savory unto the palate. Just talking about fideo. See, look. See, now you're, oh, but wait a minute, Pastor. I don't put some onions in. Let me tell you about those onions. The onions are the layers of your life that had to be dealt with, that sometimes get peeled away. There's an outer shell that sometimes, because it's been exposed to too much elements, that it dries up. You've been dried. You've gone through a process, but you have allowed the layers to become so much covering. I says, I got to cut through all of that. And then I'm going to dice it up small enough so it'll be digestible so you can get rid of the things that I'm working on. Fideo. Oh, but Pastor, you know I like spice. Well, so does Jesus. He said, go and get those peppers. Why the peppers? Because inside the pepper are many seeds. What makes the pepper spicy? The oil. Cut yourself a pepper. Don't touch the seed, but touch your eye. Yes. What burns? It wasn't the seed. It was because of the oil in it. When you cut the peppers, you're cutting the oil to be released. How many cuts have come your way? How many times have you been cut by somebody? How many times have words cut you? How many times you've been going through something and you feel like even your spirit's been cut? Talking to you. I'm talking to you. You've gone through some things that have cut you and have wounded you. And wonder why you go through what you go through, because the oil is about to increase in your life. Is about to be something that God is going to use to bring encouragement to others. It is the seed that he's placed inside of you so that you can release his goodness. But you don't allow the seeds to come forth. But God says, I'm going to bring something into you that will begin to release what's been inside of you. And it's going to come forth so people can understand that you are truly his. I bless you. God bless you. Your oil is about to flow. Many that you have encouraged with your words, that they always come to you for advice. Why do they always come to me? I get so bogged down with everything they tell me. Just help me out, Josh. Help me out, Josh. And you hold so much of this inside. He says, just put it in the pot. Put it in the pot. Everything that they give to you, release it to me. Everything that you hear, release it to me. Everything that comes your way that cuts you and hurts you, give it to me. Let me simmer it up. Let me make it work for your good. See, your heart has been crushed. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, just look up unto me. I will bring the healing that is necessary for you. Let him do that work inside of you. It's okay. It's okay. It's good. You're like a big sister to many. To many. But who's your sister? The one that will listen to everything and not judge. The one that will listen to everything and not run to mom and dad. Just listen to the heart and listen to the pain. Who's the one that is there for you? That will not judge me and be so harsh against me? Declare unto you that the very presence of God is bringing that healing that is necessary for you. It was never God that hurt you. It was never God that brought all this upon you. See, the enemy sees your heart. You have a ministry of help. That means you are always willing to help others. You're always willing to help people that are in need. Continue to work in that. Watch as he begins to flourish you in the very thing he's called you to do. You're a blessed woman of God. I release you now into the very presence of God. Father, just let your peace fall over her now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Just trying to get to my message, and I'm talking about Fidel and Fidel. It's just, it's taking me somewhere. It's not because I'm craving it. I'll eat Fidel every day of my life, and it'll be real good. Be real good. Thank you, Jesus. I see him. He's standing right next to you, Asia. He's standing right next to you. The angel right now is standing right next to you. You felt him. You felt the wind just come right next to you. He is standing right there. I feel the very presence of the angel now. It says that I'm holding you in my arms. Fear not, beloved, that there is a shift that has already taken place. I'm healing that very wound right now in the very precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you right now for what you're doing, Father. I release the very blessing of peace right now. Peace be upon her now, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I thank you right now, Father God. The doors are opening and doors are being shut, God. I thank you for the newness. I thank you for the new beginning. God, in Jesus' mighty name, touch, transform, deliver, and heal, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Have your way. Move by your spirit in this house, O Lord. Move by your spirit, O God. I bind every familiar spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Every lying tongue right now in the name of Jesus has been canceled out. Every word that has gone forth as a word curse right now has been broken right now. Has been silenced in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, that's it. Lionel, I want you to put your hand on John right there. You're not forgotten. You have not been set aside. You have not been hidden. I'm taking this time right now that I'm reaching deep down within the very soul to remove everything that has caused the pain, that has caused the hurt. I'm bringing wholeness into your life. Beloved, trust and see that favor is on you. Favor is on you. You have that same spirit to help anybody that you can help, and you have been taken advantage of. But God says, I'm about to bring to you that every seed that goes far back to when you went to go pick up your first Harley, every seed, my God, is about to be returned to you in fullness as a harvest right into your life. I hear by the very presence of the Holy Spirit that I'm doing a fresh and complete work. Let me do it. Fear not, beloved. I'm doing a great work inside of you. Trust and lean on me. And I will bring wholeness to your spirit, wholeness to your heart, and into your soul. Father, right now, I just release the very presence of God right now. Engulf him. Fill him. Rest upon him. As the Holy Spirit rested upon the disciples and those that waited in the upper room, that those that could see it looked upon it like it was tongues of fire. Father, I release right now the very baptism of the Holy Ghost. I release right now the very presence of God into his life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. Come on, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's worthy, he's worthy. He is worthy. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house. Holy Spirit, move in this house. Let us not stop the flow of your oil. Let us not stop the flow of your spirit. Have your very way in this place. Lord, we thank you that we surrender unto your will, God, and let your will be done. In the precious name of our Lord, we thank you. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Yes. Woo. Have your way.
Oh, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good.
Gloria, I see some changes about to take place within the family. I see that there has been, I think it is your niece. There's some troubling in her spirit. There's a weight that she's been carrying that she can't shake, almost to the point that she has carried depression at times. She's angered and she's bittered, and there's been a lot of turmoil that's been going on in the family. But I hear the presence of God beginning to move in that area to bring about some healing that needs to take place. I saw it as she was sitting there with her hands over her head, asking, when will this all stop? There's been turmoil and it's going to come to an end. In Jesus' mighty name. He is good. He's good. Come on. Come on. He's good. Oh, yeah. How you feel, AJ? You feel all right? I sensed him. When the angel came in, I sensed him. This time I didn't see him. I sensed him. And I've been asking why, because normally I can see him. There's a change that is coming to the body. And what you once knew And what you once relied on is not going to be what you can call on to. You're going to have to trust that it's something new and different that is going to require you to operate in. Trust it. Trust the very presence. And listen. For the Lord is doing something fresh in you in this very hour. Amen. Oh, He's good.
Thank you, Lord. So, turn with me. You got your Bibles. Get your sword. Joshua chapter 3. Jen, I need your Bible. Joshua chapter 3. Pastor Mari just said something big. Spirit of the Lord speaking. Trust His presence. Trust His presence. A few Sundays ago, we were enjoying a service with a friend of ours, Pastor Mark and Sonia. And before the service, I was praying, seeking the Lord, getting after in my prayer closet. This, for me, in this season, prayer has just been a little bit more difficult. But I desire to pray. When I desire to pray, it's hard to pray. And then when I get there, I want to stay there. Because I knew how hard and difficult it was to reach that point. My flesh, situation, circumstances. But I know that I need to pray. Amen? You feel that sometimes? And it's nothing, it's just the season's changing in prayer, right? Sometimes. Last year was man, into the presence of the Lord. Excited and being there. Easy. Now it's a little bit more difficult, but still He's drawing us. Amen? So the prophetic picture in the morning, He gave me a prophetic picture for that church. And it's for the body, amen? Right now when Pastor Marty said that, the presence. So I saw the picture again. And I just want to share that with you. He says in verse number 4, he says, let's go to verse number 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites carrying it, then you'll set out before your place and go after it. So they're in one place, and then they see the presence of the Lord, the men of God carrying the presence of the Lord. Now, people, let's go after it. All right, that's what he's saying. So I need three people. Jen, come on. We're going to do it again. Jen is going to represent the Ark of the Covenant. Come on right here. I need Cherie as the congregation. And then Pastor Elder, amen. Elder as the leader behind Jen. So this is the presence of the Lord. Keep a space. He says keep a space. Right? Extend your hand. Touch. Extend your hand. Touch. Keep that space. Okay, put your hands down. But you got to keep that space. He says don't go come. Don't come closer or don't go farther. But stay with the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in measure. Do not come near it, that you may know which way to go, because you have not passed this way before, house of manna. You have not passed this way before, man of God. You have not passed this way before. So come on, start going, Jen. Keep that space. Go a little bit faster. You're going too slow for me. Here we go. Ark of the Lord, go down the aisle, come back up, keeping that space. Elder has the responsibility. The leaders have the responsibility to keep the space. The congregation has the responsibility to keep that space. The presence of the Lord is going before us because we have never been this way before. We have to keep that space. We are going after God. We are going after the presence of the Lord like never before. Thank you. You have your seat. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you have been this way before, but me, I have not. I have to seek Him. I have to go after Him. I can turn to culture and to society and things and seeing all the corruption and corrosion. When the presence of the Lord and my leaders come out and tell me. And if you read the story a little bit longer, it's a land called Shittim. And they were dwelling there too long. Land called comfortability. They were dwelling there too long, a land of compromise, stagnant. They were there too long. And then sin and things started creeping in. So the leaders got stirred up to seek after the Lord, because we've never been this way before. We've never been this way before. But God's laid it on our hearts to do those things. And we're striving and reaching for greater things. We have to hold on to the presence of the Lord and each other. When others are leaving and others are walking out and turning their backs, we as men and women of God, full of the Spirit of the Lord and integrity, will stay and stand and cover and pray and press in. Amen. Amen. God is doing some great things here in the house of manna. God is doing great things. I heard also when we're in prayer, I just said to the Lord, man, well, Jen said enough. That's it. I'm good. Sit down. And then when Pastor Marty said about the presence of the Lord, that's just something that has always stood out to me. I recently was able to share that with Pastor Mark. I hope that encourages you as the body of Christ. Amen. But I heard the Lord say, the devourer has stopped today. Amen. The devourer has stopped today. And then I was telling my wife, you know, the Lord's just asking, Pastor Marty was saying about his daughter, the Lord's just asking for you to tell him and talk to him and share with him. Tell me what's on your heart. I love you so much. Just speak. There's a scripture in the Word. He says, all things, all the time, all occasions. I just want you. I desire you. Whatever it is, troubles, you go in heavy, you come out lighter. We need to, as men and women of God, desire that time. Desire that time. Don't get comfortable. I want to encourage you and exhort you. Don't get comfortable in all the time throughout the day that you receive little nuggets of wisdom. Don't substitute it as staying in the presence of the Lord. Praying in your time. The morning, noontime, evening, whatever that is. Don't get comfortable and just daily activities, little wisdom nuggets you're posting. That's not the presence. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 3. Let's go after it like never before. Seek Him like never before, because we've never been this way before.
Oh, you heard. You heard the word of the Lord. You heard the word of the Lord. We have not been here before. But you have to follow His presence. You have to follow His presence, because you've never been here before. Let me lead you. Right? Let me lead you. Get your Bibles. I didn't understand why God had me shut it. Now I do. My. The title of the message that I was going to preach this morning, and I'll start it next week, I'm just going to go to a portion that brought this about. We started this series about ask for the ancient paths, the old ways, out of Jeremiah 6:16. I'll read it to you, and then I'm going to continue on, and I'll begin to extrapolate this particular word. Jeremiah 6:16 of the New American Standard Bible reads this wise. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now Jeremiah writes because the Lord is saying, but you said we will not walk in it. In order for us to get to where God is taking us, we must follow after His presence. His presence. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. But it's a learning experience to walk after it. Mark 6, verses 15 through 18. If you would turn there, please. Mark 6, 15 through 18. These are the last instructions of Jesus before going up into heaven. As you're looking for Mark 16, verses 15 through 18, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. But listen, all throughout Scripture, as Jesus was moving with the disciples and they were learning, they were watching, he kept saying, go, 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 go. He kept telling them to go. Now, these are the last instructions that he gives right before he leaves. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18 out of the NIV. He said to them, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all people. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believers will be given power to perform miracles. They will drive out demons in my name. They will speak in strange tongues. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be harmed. They will place their hands on the sick people, and these will get well. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 48 through 50. And I'm going to park right here. Luke 24, 48 through 50. The reason why I read to you Mark was he gave an order. Go. And then this is what he says next. In Luke 24, verses 48 through 50. I'm going to read it out of the Good News Translation. Verse 48. You are witnesses of these things, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. Verse 50. Then he led them out of the city as far as Bethany, where he raised his hands and blessed them. I want to begin to take this to you in the way that the Lord has spoken, that we are going someplace that we've never been, but we first must be waiting for his presence to move. We can't get ahead of God. We can't be delayed when God moves. We have to let the Spirit of God begin to lead us. Jesus now led these disciples out of the city. The city represented a place where they found comfort, housing, and provision. I don't know about you, but I know when the storm comes, I prefer to be at home. Before we're ever going to experience what God really has for us, he's going to take us out of the city. He's going to lead us out of our comfort zones. He's going to lead us out of a place that we're so used to and accustomed to. He's going to lead us out of a place that we've become very, very, very familiar with. Something that we know that when we walk in, we become so robotic to do the things we've always done because we've been in the same place at all times. But where he's about to take us, he's going to lead us outside of the city. And as he leads you outside of the city, then he raises his hands and then he blesses them. Watch what it says in the scripture. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them outside of the city. The blessing is coming as long as you are following his lead. He could have taken them right to the upper room, but he didn't. He says, go and wait. But I'm going to teach you something before you go and wait. Learn how to follow my presence. Learn how to be in sync with me. Keep a distance that is safe for you, because you may get too comfortable in following after my presence that you'll mistake other things to be my presence. The enemy comes in as an angel of light. You've got to keep your distance so that your spirit of discernment can discern when it is truly God and when it is something of the enemy. But if we are so close and we're so wrapped up and caught up in the things of God all the time, we'll never be able to discern when it is an angel of light of deception. We have to keep our distance to watch where he's taking us so he can lead us. He's leading us into a place that we've never been. All of you are all of a sudden now going, oh, we're moving, we're moving, we're moving, we're moving. A building. Great. But I'm looking far beyond that. Because a building cannot contain this presence of God. But you, the temple of God, can keep him. But if you don't know that you have him, and if you don't know that you're walking with him, and if you don't even know if you really have obtained him, you will not walk in the dunamis power that he said that you would receive the moment that you waited for him. We have to learn how to wait in his presence. Wait, even if he's not moving in the direction that you have been praying for. Maybe you just have to wait and tarry. What is that waiting? It's to be waiting expectantly for his command. He is doing something that's far greater than we've ever imagined. He says, go and preach the gospel and release the power to the believers to perform miracles. When he first sends them out, he says, don't go to the Samaritans. Don't go anywhere else other than to the lost of Israel. First, he gives them restrictions. Now, before he leaves, he says, now go into all the world. No restrictions, no boundaries. Carry my presence. But in order for you to do it, know what I'm giving you is for you to give to others. Is to give to others. Why is it important to learn how to follow? Because we first have to follow before we can lead. Many of us want to begin to start leading and doing things, but we don't know how to submit. If you can submit to the presence of God, the very presence of the Holy Spirit, even when He leads you away from everything else. I want you to hear this. He may lead you away from some folks. He may lead you away from some people that said they're with you. He may lead you away from some folks that don't know how to get with you. That don't have your vision. He may lead you to a place that nobody even knows where you're going. It will appear to them like you're walking around aimlessly, walking in a direction not where God said, but it's where God led you. But if they're not in sync with what the presence of God is doing in your life, they're always going to feel like you're lost. But you're being led. You're being led. Why would he lead them out of the city? Why would he lead them out of the city after he told them to go and wait? Too many times we got folks that are too familiar with them. They're so familiar that they don't put value to your words anymore. What does the Bible say that Jesus himself couldn't do many miracles because of their unbelief? Where was it? In his own hometown. Oh, y'all better hear this. I'm about to prophesy it right now. It's one thing for me to flow in the prophetic. That's easy. Because that's him. I'm comfortable with that. It's another thing to begin to move in healing and demonstration of power, working the miracle gifts that require him to do something outside of the realm of the natural that will work and flow through me for others. And the way he's going to do that is by removing me out of a place of comfort and into a place that those that are willing to receive. I said this early on. I said that God is getting ready to take me and begin to move me around this country and outside internationally. I said it. But I learned to wait. Many times I wanted to pick up the phone. Hey, Pastor so-and-so, I got a word. Can I come and release it at your church? Trust me, many times I wanted to pick up that phone. I said, you better wait on me. You better wait on me. Past Sunday when I was at Emmanuel Worship Center, I didn't call to go. They asked. Okay. Then I went. The Lord moved. Very quickly. Very quickly did he move. I said, Lord, I like this. It's stretching me. I have time restraints, but you still move. But I like this. He says, I'm getting ready to do something with you. Get ready. It's going to require you to get somewhere and wait. God, I've been waiting on you my whole life. I've learned to wait. And I learned to take a step when you step. And then as you move a little bit quicker, I begin to get a little bit quicker in my stride. But I found this very interesting, that the moment that I would get hit by something that was trying to block me, he would wait on me. I began to understand that God was really interested in my well-being as a child. His purpose will be fulfilled. He knows what we go through, because in the previous scripture that I read to you before is that we don't have a high priest that has not suffered the things we suffered. We have a high priest that has been through everything that we can ever imagine to go through. But yet, he was still without any sin. What is that saying? He doesn't miss the mark. He's still going to accomplish what he set out to do, and he's still going to use you to do it. He's still going to accomplish you in this city to do what he called you to do. He's still going to set out to do what he showed you in the visions, what he confirmed to you in the word, and you'll do greater than you've ever imagined, because he's leading. He's leading. I said, Lord, if I have to learn how to wait, then I will wait. See, many in the book of Acts in chapter 3, when he says for them to go to the upper room and wait, there was a whole bunch of them. That was a big old party. How many times have you been someplace where everybody says, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. And then when you're waiting for a long period of time, but they begin to kind of dwindle away. And even those that are believers, they dwindle away, the numbers just diminish. And you're left with the ones that God intended. If he turned this world upside down with just 12. Just 12. He didn't go make more disciples. He didn't go select more. After he selected the 12, I'm cool. You know Jesus. He was in his low rider. Pues mira, Jesus was in the low rider. We're cruising. Just need 12. That's it. But why you pick Peter? And mira, Judas. You don't know about Judas like I know Judas. No te pures, no worry. I got this. I know who I need on my team. I ain't done yet. Don't preach it to yourself yet. Let me preach it to you. What's this one? And John? The beloved? Always thinking he knows you, Jesus. He thinks I'm the one that loves him the most. He's the special one. Just come on. There you go. There you go. You see, we don't know why God takes us out of where we're at and places people in your life that you don't even understand, that you would never select. You would never pick them yourself. Because if you were the one that picked them, you would ask for a resume first, a whole list of references. But where's the faith in that? Hey, I feel my hope. You see, some of the things that you're going to do is because the people that God put around you are their purpose in your life. You will have have someone that is a knucklehead like Peter that will get on your very nerve. That will get to the point that he's going to rub you the wrong way. He's going to tell you, I know God, but I still deny him. You may have the Judas in your life that will turn on you, but the Judas is necessary to get you to where you need to be. The Judas is the one that's going to take you to that place, that is going to get you out of your comfort zone, that's going to make you be in a dark place and say, why am I here? But there's something inside that says, Christ has led me to this point. We don't understand why we got people that come around us. We start thinking we're calling them unto us. We ain't calling them. It is the light that draws everybody unto you. But the ones that stick close to you are the ones that keep you. It is the ones that keep you close. The ones that will stay with you. It is the ones that will constantly work with you. They'll labor with you. They'll stand with you. And then when the times get tough, they keep pushing you forward. It don't matter. I'm not here to take what you got. I'm here to help you to get more than what God has for you. He's got to lead us. He's got to take us. Then you might have someone that tells you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I know you love me more than everybody else. The reality, sometimes you need someone that's going to pat you on the back and tell you, you're doing a good job. You're going to make it. You're going to keep on doing it. You're not going to quit. You're not going to stop. You can make it to the end. You need someone that will be there behind you and say, keep doing it. Don't quit. But he first has to lead you out of that place so he can put people in your path. I didn't ask for this, God. No, but I know what you need. And I know how much of it that you need. And I'll bring them unto you. And they'll work with you side by side. They're not going to come against you. They're going to work with you. I have to lead you out to make you feel like you're alone. To make you feel like you're not going to be able to make it. To make you feel like you're isolated. To make you feel like you've been separated from things. Because I have to do it because it is for your good. But when I come back to you, Peter, he said after he got up, and there they went. And they said, who's going to roll the stone away? And the stone was already rolled away. They saw Jesus. He says, I want you to go to the 11. Tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen. I say that because he will lead you at times to feel like you're alone. Like you're misunderstood, like you're never going to amount to anything, like it's never going to be this kind of way. When am I going to get what you have promised me? When am I going to experience the things that I see in my dreams? When? Sometimes you feel like you're so isolated. Peter must have felt like I can't do this no more, but I feel like I'm led to go back to what I once knew. He says, but if I just keep my faith and I continue to press on, I will know that he will come to me because I have never left him. I've only thought I left him, but my heart and my spirit said yes to Christ. When I said yes, Lord, I said yes to everything inside of me. He's bringing to you his presence. When you thought that you got away from him, his presence came right back to him. Right back to him. Didn't matter what his disposition was. The moment that his position met his disposition, it got him into position. You understand? It doesn't matter what we go through. You may be led through something, led out of something. He is in it with you the whole time. He's going to help you. He's going to change some things. But it's him leading you to a place. And sometimes you have to wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up like wings of eagles. They will run and not get weary. See, the problem is the enemy wants you to stop. The stopping isn't the issue. It's when you stop and don't wait expectantly. You have got to learn to wait expectantly for what he's about to do. You have been impregnated with the purpose of God in your life. You've been carrying purpose. You've been stretched. You've been uncomfortable. But you're now getting ready to release what the Lord has planted inside of you. Not everybody can go in on the delivery process. Not everybody can be there in the sterile process. Everything must be cleansed before something is about to come forth. My God. You ever felt like things begin to fall away and people begin to fall away? Because God is sterilizing the environment for what He's about to do. There's a birth getting ready to come forth. And not everybody's going to be there during the birthing process. But what He's about to, I hear them right now. They're about to experience something like never before. It is the birth of purpose that has come now with power behind it. And everything that is needed for this purpose is about to come forth. You're not to receive. Oh my God. Some of you have felt that you have missed. Woo, your deliverance. I said you haven't missed anything. And you're not going to give birth prematurely either. Woo. I'll bring you full term. And as I bring you full term, it's because I led you to this place outside of your comfort, outside of where you've ever been, to take you to a new place and a new dimension of you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Got a wonderful text from a friend. It says, be encouraged. We love you. We're standing with you. And I responded, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. Come on, are you still standing? Are you still standing? God, I may be going through a hard time, but I'm still standing. I may have been led to a place that I don't understand, but I'm still standing. I may be in a place of isolation, being felt like I'm alone, but I'm still standing, God. Because I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Because I am your child. You'll give unto me what is good for me. God, I'm still standing. Though the wind of adversity may come, there's also a wind of change that is on the horizon. And is about to blow now. It is the same wind that came in into the upper room where they learned how to wait upon the Lord. And then the wind came in and it blew. And it blew. And then when they looked upon the heads, my God, listen to this. When they looked upon the heads, we think, oh, it was just a head. No, it was the leadership where the tongues of fire fell upon. See, before you can become a leader, sometimes you got to go through the weeding process. And those that wanted to be leaders didn't make it all the way through in the waiting process. He says, now when you wait, wait expectantly. Then when they opened their eyes, they saw the fire of God, like tongues of fire upon them, upon their heads. They became the leaders of the New Testament church, of the new covenant that was released. They became the leaders that will begin to make leaders. They were the leader makers. They weren't the ones that were just going to say, you got to serve, you got to do this. No, I'm going to show you how to lead. I'm going to show you how to work this thing out. I'm going to show you how to do things you've never done before. Why am I going to show you? Because I learned how to wait. I learned how to follow. And I learned how to be driven. Jesus was driven into the wilderness for his test by the Spirit of God. God is leading us and driving us to a new place. It's something different. It's something we've never been to. It's a place that we've never experienced in the very Spirit of God. But it's going to become manifest in the very presence. And wherever he takes us, as long as his presence is there, we will go. We will go. Amen. I want everybody across this sanctuary. Grab hands. Everybody hold hands. Everybody hold hands. Come on, everybody's holding hands. Everybody's holding hands. There you go. There you go. Yes, Lord. See, the Bible says that when they came together, they were in one accord. They weren't asking for anything personal. Matter of fact, they weren't even asking for when. They weren't asking for anything more than what was already promised. That's why when Jesus told them, go and wait, for the promise of my Father I will send to you. Your promise is coming to you. Your promise is coming to you. How many of you are ready to receive your promise right now? Come on. Are you ready to receive your promise? Come on, whatever. He knows what your promise is. It may be different from the one that you're holding on the left or to the right of you. It may be different from somebody that you know. It may be different from mom and dad, but it's your promise because God has made a promise unto you. He says, if you ask, you shall receive. If you believe, you will receive. At that very moment that you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell inside of you. But I'm asking right now, as you are touching your neighbor, I feel by the very presence of God, there will be a baptism of the Holy Ghost with the dunamis power. There will be the evidence of speaking in tongues with prayer languages. There will be the language of angels that will go forth before the Lord. That there will be the power of God that will begin to empower you to do what He's called you to do. Your promise is coming to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, as everyone is laying hands right now, grasping hands on one another, Lord, I thank you that we have come into a place of agreement, Lord, that you are leading us to something new and something fresh. But Lord, we ask for the ancient past, Father, and yes, we will walk in it, that we will be that church, oh God, that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We will cleanse the leper and heal all manners of sickness and disease. We will raise the dead, Father, to life and to eternal life. We will raise those that are dead into the Spirit, and we will raise them into the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we will even lay hands right now, Father God, and believe by the power and the authority of your word. Because we said yes unto you, that we will receive the dunamis, the dynamite, the dunamis power, oh God, that brings about the working power of God in our life to further the kingdom of God. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each and every individual that has linked hands together right now. I thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit is moving to bring about the promise of the Father in Jesus' mighty name. And every one of you that believe it and receive it, I want you to give the Lord a clap, give the Lord a handshake, give Him a shout, give Him a wave offering. A thank you to the Lord. He is good. The promise is coming to you. The promise is coming to you. Come on, come on. It's all about Jesus. It is His promise. We will learn to wait. We will learn to follow. And we will be led into a new place. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, isn't He good? Isn't He good? Oh, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Led. Led to follow. And led into a new place. In your waiting, do not get weary. Be expecting. For the thing that God wants to do is to release His promise. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray that that's a blessing. I pray that you understand that the Lord is speaking and that we must learn to keep our distance when we're following. But when we stop, for whatever reason, He waits on us. Amen. Our faith will drive us to continue on. And we'll be standing in the very presence of the Lord. Amen. I pray that the Lord keep you, bless you, let His very grace and mercy to shower you with blessings. And every I release you today in the very presence of God, that you walk with the very power and authority that He's already given you the moment that you said yes to Jesus. I pray that you ask for even more so He can give you even more. What is He going to give you? More revelation of His love. Amen. I love you guys. I see a whole bunch of donuts back there. A whole bunch of coffee. Oh, but before we go, we're going to do our communion. Communion. We got about communion. I saw the donuts. I got sidetracked. This is what we're going to do as we can take communion together as a family. Why don't you, if you would, from the back rows, come down this aisle. If we can get... Can you guys...